If you're here, we're in the third week of series that we started called Love, Sex, and Dating. And obviously, as you can tell, we's going to talk about sex today, baby. So are you excited about that? So after I talked to you guys last week so serious, you should be the ones that are like, yeah, bring it this week, man. You know, and some of you are out there and you're a little more seasoned. You're like, I'll let you know after the service, buddy, if I'm excited about it. Before we jump in today's topic, I genuinely do believe that this series has some invaluable information for everybody that's sitting in this room. Yes, we are talking specifically to single and young adults in this series, but if you're divorced and you found yourself in that arena of dating again and love and all that stuff, or even if you're married and you have kids that you're having conversations with or you're going to have conversations with about love, sex, and dating, I believe that this series has some incredible information for you. And remember kind of that bigger idea of why we're doing this is because we want to help everybody get better at potentially, at avoiding the potential pain in their life that they'll most likely experience later because of the decisions that they're making now, all right? And if you missed any part of that, of the first couple weeks, here's a little bit of a quick debrief for you, just to bring you on the same page so you understand, like, wow, I can't believe this is the first time I'm at COC and they're talking about sex. Wow, this is a pretty radical church. Here's the deal. Our primary objective and reasoning behind this series is to tell you the things about love, sex, and dating that maybe you don't know, that maybe you never knew about, or nobody ever warned you about, or I can't believe I never saw that coming. And I kind of gave you a little bit of a reasoning behind that is I've had so many people in my life come and just kind of dump everything about their intimate lives, their dating lives, their love lives, their sex lives, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how did you not see that coming? Did anybody ever tell you that? So I kind of wanted in a series to basically just like tell you what maybe nobody ever told you, and that's what we're doing. Because here's what we do know, and if you haven't already discovered, you will probably someday soon. Your past has a very, very tricky way of sneaking up on you in your future. If you're not paying attention and doing it right, what you're doing now matters, and it can haunt you and hurt you in your future. And I kind of phrase it this way in that first particular week. Your present will be your past, which will be present in your future. So right now, young adult, teenager, if you're out there, single person, please, please pay attention to what we've been talking about the last few weeks, especially this week, and pay very close attention and seeing how can I apply that and connect those dots into my life. Divorce people out there, you know, you did it wrong the first time. You got it really messed up, and you're like, it's not going to be that way this time. Yes, it will be that way the next time if you don't fix what was wrong from the first time. All right, and parents, this is what we're saying. We're helping you and giving you some great insight. So what we talked about in that first week is primarily this, a very common misconception in the dating world today. And that first week's message was simple. It was the right person myth. Too many people are falling for the right person myth. And that kind of goes something like this. And this is a good chance for group response so you can tell me that you're alive and awake out there, okay? All right. If I marry the right person, everything will be... Okay, I'm going to give you a second chance because five of you did well and the other 200 did not. Okay, so another way of saying the right person myth is this. If I meet the right person, everything will be all right. Yeah, so this is a very common misconception, a bad myth that people are falling for all the time in the love, sex, and dating world. And it's messing a lot of people up. So basically what we did is attempted in that first week to kind of dispel that myth and say that doesn't work. Here's why it doesn't work. And then we propose to you an alternative idea. Instead of wasting all of your time, your energy, and your resources on trying to find the right person, maybe, just propose a thought. Maybe it's more about, you becoming the right person. And that's what we said. Maybe you need to stop looking and being so intent on, I've got to find the right person. And maybe it's a time out. Maybe it's time that you stop, you consider yourself becoming the right person. And kind of another way of saying that is this, and we gave you the question that I thought every single person should always ask numerous times in their life if they're really serious about becoming the right person, and loaded the arsenal for all the married folks out there that have kids. When you have that conversation, this is the question you should always be asking. Are you who the person you are looking for is looking for? Are you? Stop looking outward and start looking inward, you know, and focus on yourself. And it's about becoming who you are looking for is looking for. And then we wanted to help you out. The Bible actually has an incredible list. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's known as the love chapter. And we kind of pointed you there and said, hey, listen, if you're serious about, you know, wanting to become the person you're looking for is looking for, then this is a great list, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it tells you just all of these things that love is. And as you kind of go through that list, you'll start to discover none of that is really about you, or it's usually about you becoming something different for the other person. And it's just a powerfully impacting a passage of Scripture. So that's a great list of what it looks like to become the person you're looking for is looking for. Then last week, I briefly talked to all the men, and I basically kind of encouraged all of our men to basically step up and set the pace and the tone for your current and your future relationships from a biblical perspective. And that is to accept the responsibility and become a part of what is known as the real, and the title of last week, the real gentleman's club. The real gentleman's club. And we challenged you, one of those ways, to stop viewing women in our culture the way culture is telling you to view them. And that is basically this. Today, anywhere you kind of look, this is the way culture views women. Women are viewed, they're presented, they're talked about, and they're sung about like a commodity. And here's what a commodity is, if you're unfamiliar. A commodity is something that you use, you take advantage of, you reap all of the ounce of it, of the good in it, out of it for you and your benefit. And then when you're done with it, you take it back, you trade it in, you get your refund, or you just throw it away, and then you get something new. And you get something new. And guys, I'm telling you, this is what culture is screaming about women today. And it's skewing the version and the vision in men's minds. And this is what many men look at women like. They use it until they're done, and they get a better and a newer model. Right? And we challenge you to start viewing women the way that Jesus views them. And in John chapter 13, he kind of said, this is how you are to view women and everybody. And he says, love one another as I have loved you. Then he said, by this, by what, Josh? By this new kind of love, people will know that you are one of my disciples. If you love one another. Love who? Love everybody, even women. And you're like, duh, that's a no-brainer. I love women. Yeah. No, but you got to understand, here's the problem is, when Jesus spoke this into a culture in that day and age, women weren't viewed as commodities. They were commodities. So he shocked the culture back then. And today he's doing the same, because here's what's happening, friends. I don't know if you're aware of this, but we're slowly shifting to viewing women as commodities and treating them like commodities. And if we don't change that, so this is revolutionary. Jesus says, you got to stop it, and you got to love everybody, even women, the same way that I have loved you. Now, we come to the infamous sex conversation today. I'm going to read to you some statistics to just start this off, so you're kind of aware why this is a big deal right now. And I just want you to resonate on these, think about these, and take these kind of home with you so you understand that we need to talk about this. This is a big deal. All right, here they are, according to the Kinsey Institute in Indiana University. The median number of opposite sex partners in a lifetime among men and women ages 25 to 44 years of age. Easier said, how many times do men sleep with women? You know what I'm saying? And how many times do women sleep with men in that ages, all right, for in a lifetime? Men 6.6 partners. Women, 4.3 partners. The percentage of men aged 15 to 44 years of age who have had 15 or more opposite sex sexual partners in their lifetime, 21.8% men have slept with more than 15 women. 10.6 of women percent. Over 50% of respondents ages 18 to 24 indicated that their most recent sexual partner was casual or a dating partner. And you don't think sex should be in the dating conversation. It's where it seems to be happening. This is a shocker. Sexual dissatisfaction is highly associated with the increased risk of divorce and relationship dissolution. Sexual dissatisfaction. In relation to sexual behavior, this is fascinating to me. There's a wide variability in which people consider included in having sex. So kind of like, what does having sex mean? There's a lot of different definitions, and kind of according to this study, this is what most people considered it was sex. And again, this is PG-13, so I'm going to say some words that you're like, oh, I didn't know you could say that in church. I just want you to know we warned you, all right? So when you put on the comment card, I can't believe you said that, we told you, okay? Just so you know, all right? But this is kind of how several people in this study considered what having sex looks like. 45% of the participants consider masturbation as having sex. 71% considered performing oral sex to be sex. And 80.8% considered anal genital intercourse to be sex. And this is kind of the most shocking one for me, and this is the one I'm just going to leave on, and we're going to keep moving. The average age of someone's first intercourse experience for men, males, 16.8 years old. It's the average today of when the first sexual intercourse happens for a man. Females, 17.2. 16.8, 17.2 are the first, are the average age of the first sexual intercourse activity in men and women's lives today. Now, I want to start with you today, and I want to share another myth that appears to be completely like countercultural with what the Bible has to say about this idea. And that's because culture knows that what I'm about ready to say to you, it's boring, okay? It doesn't sell. That's why they're not telling you what I'm about to tell you today. They're telling you and selling you this particular myth. However, this idea I'm about ready to share, it has massive, massive implications that if you miss it or you've been missing it in your dating and relationship arenas, you simply have fallen for a major lie. And it goes something like this. This is the myth. This is the lie today. All right, culture's myth. Sex is just physical. Sex is just physical. This is what culture is screaming. Media, everywhere you look, it's saying sex, guys, it's just physical. That's what they're saying right there. And let me just tell you right now, according to this book right here that I call the Bible, I kind of go here for absolute truth. Like if I'm not sure on an idea and I can't figure it out, I like go here and say, okay, I wonder what absolute truth says about it. Absolute truth basically says that is the farthest thing for you to even know. I mean, to even believe that sex is just physical, because that's not the case. Here's another way of saying it, all right? Another way of saying sex is just physical is this. If nobody gets hurt, this will probably make more sense. If nobody gets hurt, nobody gets a sexually transmitted disease, and nobody gets pregnant, you know, then just, hey, have a great time. Have a great time. Because after all, sex is just physical. That's it. No foul, no harm. No foul, no harm. But the truth is, friends, again, according to this book, the truth is, If you've missed it so far in your life, nobody ever told you. I'm here today. I'm telling you what maybe nobody ever told you. I'm saying, hey, heads up. You know, road is closed up there. The bridge is out. I'm just giving you some information that maybe you didn't know. The truth is, while culture is saying sex is just physical, according to the Bible, the truth is sex is not just physical. It is not just physical. And the reality, friends, is this, is if you keep treating sex as just physical, the real truth is you're only hurting yourself worse. You're just digging a deeper ditch that's going to be harder and harder and harder to get out. Now, this is the part of the message that I kind of was debating on. Should I do this? Should I not? And I was kind of, you know, going back and forth of talking myself into it and out of it. And here's why, all right? Because I know that I'm going to ask you a set of questions here in a minute. And I know that what I'm going to say today, it might resurface some really bad pain in many people in this room's lives. And that's why I kind of went back and forth, should I not? Some of these questions are going to be painful. They're going to sting a little bit. And to be honest with you, I don't necessarily have the answers to them. But here's my intent to ask them. I think that as I ask them, you're going to be able to kind of fill in the blank to the answer. You're going to be like, huh, never thought of it like that. But here's the deal. I just want to bring everybody in the audience here today on the same page, and I thought this would be the best way of doing it. I want to, in asking these questions, bring to light, this is what I'm after. I'm forewarning you so you know I have nothing up my sleeves. I want to bring to light why what culture is telling and selling you that sex is just physical, why that's completely wrong. Because again, the reality is it's not just physical. It's deeply connected to your soul in the most intimate way. And I think these questions, you're just going to kind of intuitively like, huh, never thought about that before. So hopefully, you know, kind of dispelling a little bit of the myth of it's just physical. So here's the awkward questions, okay? Just think about it. Here's the awkward questions. Why is it that when a child is sexually abused, that later on when they become an adult, why is that pain so hard to shake off? Think about it. Why is it that when a child or even an individual is sexually abused, it's just something that follows that person around the rest of their lives? They can't break free from it. Here's my point to that idea. If sexuality or sexual activity is just physical, if you believe what culture is telling you and you believe it's just physical, then why can't you just put your big boy pants or your big girl pants on and move on? And I'm not being callous there. I'm just being a realist, right? Why can't you just, tough, why you need counseling? Here's the second question. Why is it that rape seems to be so much more devastating to a woman than just simply getting abused or beat up physically? And I know both cases are very difficult, and sometimes it's hard for both cases, but in this particular idea, why can she so much more easily, finally, in a lot of cases, report physical abuse, but she feels so much more shame to being raped that it ultimately leads her to carry around a secret and live in torment for much longer than she should? My point is, listen, if sex is just physical, friends, then it would be just like you getting beat up or slapped around. You finally have enough of it, so you call the police and you report it, and then you move on. It's done. You put it behind you. Here's one that will surprise you according to statistics. Why is it that men who have the deepest sexual issues have absent or uninvolved fathers? Why is it that men who fall into the deepest and the darkest of sexual addictions have missing or uninterested fathers? Coincidence? I mean, if it's just physical, who cares if your dad's not around? If it's just physical. And lastly, this is probably the most prevalent one that I hear the most. Why is it that most people's biggest regrets in life are sexually related? Through 21 plus, 22 plus years of ministry, thousands of counseling appointments. And I will sit across and I will hear these words. I can't tell you how many times I've heard these words. Pastor Josh, I am about to tell you something that I have never told anybody in my life. And I can almost complete their sentence of where they're going. Let me tell you why all four of these questions bother you and your soul. It's because intuitively, every single person in this room kind of now is beginning to lean and understand that sex is not just physical. It's not. You see, friends, we live in a culture that wants to make it so simple and easy and acceptable. It's like, no big deal. Are you kidding me? Everybody's doing it. Sex is just physical. But I gotta believe, just in my interactions with so many people, I gotta believe today that everybody sitting in this room kind of knows that it isn't. Kind of is like, I don't know if it is. But here's what blows my mind. We seem to keep falling for the same destructive patterns over and over and over. And it's tragic. It's tragic because sex is not just physical, friends. It's something that's deeply and intricately woven into the fabric of your soul. It is. Now, here is what I'm after thus far. You get to do life one time. And if you've discovered that you get to do it twice, then please let me know, because I'd like to know how, okay? But you get to do life one time on this rock. One time. And in case you didn't know, I get it. That's why I'm telling you today, okay? Your sexual life is a big deal to God. I'm gonna prove it to you today, and I'm gonna share some scripture from you. But your spirit, your sexual life is a big deal to God. And what makes sex way, way, way more than just physical is found in one little word that apparently too many people today don't understand. It's called this. Intimacy. This word makes sex way, way, way more than just physical. Intimacy. Now let me explain to you what intimacy means, and then we'll attempt to go even deeper with this idea. To know and be fully known. That is what intimacy means. It means to know and be fully known. So, here's what that means, friends. When God created sex, he created it with that thought in mind, to know and be fully known. So that means when humans have sex with one another, it's going to reflect something so intimately, something that expresses that I want them to think about when they think about a relationship with me, is what God's saying, okay? That being to know and be fully known. And that's something way, 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 way beyond just being physical. That's something that's connected to the deepest parts of their soul. So let me kind of break that down a little bit. So this is what God had in mind with sex. When they have sex, he's thinking, they actually experience in that sexual encounter what the closest of relationships with me is actually meant to look like. It's like God was saying this when he created sex. I'm going to create something that is so awesome that when they experience it together, it's going to reflect something that I want them to experience with me. Like, can you just imagine this moment that God's like, I don't know why I didn't think about that. I'm going to give them something that is really, really good. And the angels are like, what is it? Oh, you wouldn't even understand it. But they're going to love it. I love it. Can I get an amen? Okay? But here's the deal. They're going to enjoy it and experience it in such a way. But this is what I want them to experience. I want them to experience kind of what a relationship with me looks like. And it's going to be very, very powerful, this gift is. But it's going to be very, very fragile. And here's what I'm really hoping. Don't you love God giving us free will? I'm hoping that they'll be extremely, extremely careful with it. Because as powerful as it is, the fragility of it is so, so easily broken. I hope they're careful with it. I hope they're careful with it. Now, single people, listen to me. If you're out there and you're a single adult, and married people, this will probably make perfect sense to some of you. Single people, you've met married people today who broke this. They have broke the intimacy factor. They broke this sex thing. You've met married people who've abused this. You actually know married women that are so numb to the intimacy factor that was designed to go with sex that their hearts are now earthly, temporarily, they're damaged. They're damaged. You've also met married men who become so detached. They've become so detached because of their habits and their addictions to the intimacy factor that was designed to go with sex that now they're just mentally broken. They're mentally broken. And now, shocking, they're both broken, damaged. They're both looking somewhere else and for someone else because they're thinking now what we talked about the first week. Maybe I married the wrong person. Maybe I married the wrong person. And the real issue, friends, I'm telling you right now, I'm just giving you some incredible insight right here. All right, the real issue is they never understood. They never knew. Maybe you never knew. So that's what I'm doing. I'm doing in this series. I'm telling you something maybe nobody ever told you. For them, this is what they always knew. Sex is just physical. Sex is just physical. And nothing could be farther than the truth because sex is not just physical. It's highly spiritual because it's about intimacy. And it's about knowing and being fully known. That's the original intent and design about sex. Just so you know. All right. Here's the interesting part. Interesting. The Bible actually talks about all of this stuff that I'm telling you today. Okay? So where are you getting this from, Josh? It's the Bible. Trust me. I'm not anywhere as smart as I look. This don't say, who said amen? What's, you don't have to agree with it, you know what I'm saying? Listen, I'm not. The Bible talks about all of this stuff a lot, and here's what I want you to understand. Here's what you need to know. Kind of set the page, paint the picture a little bit, all right? Here's what you need to know about when it was talked about, one of those times, all right? One of those times that it was really, really pushing into and coming into a culture is when pretty much every world religion of that time, they were celebrating sex. All right? Pretty much every world religion. So that means this, and I know this is shocking, but sex was kind of interwoven within the fabric of pretty much every religion known to man at that time. And it's because of this, because those are religions. Remember, this is what I got to do to work my way to God, right? And you remember all that stuff on what's the difference? This is what God has done for me. You remember, yes, shake your heads, please, that you remember that series, all right? Because we'll do it again next week if you want to. All right, listen, all right? So basically, those are religions, and a lot we discovered kind of in that series, what's the difference, is there's a lot of man-made religions. And that is because anytime that you look into a man-made religion, you'll always find somewhere in there where men continually view women as commodities. And this is fascinating to me. Just think about today. We talked about two of them, and what's the difference? Two cult religions today. What's interwoven within them? Fascinating. I won't name the two, but you kind of know there's branches off of one. But here's the thing. The ability for a man to have sex with as many women as he can. Two of those. Man-made religions. So when this was originally communicated, sex was celebrated. And here's what blows your mind. It was actually a form of worship with many, many, many of those man-made pagan religions. And then we get this. We get Jesus who comes along. This is crazy, radical stuff right here. Jesus comes along, and he takes God's idea, once given from God, by God, kind of, you know, back at the beginning of, like, here's the first list of rules, the Ten Commandments. You ever heard those before? Raise your hand. Oh, please, church, tell me you've heard of the Ten Commandments. Okay? All right, so kind of in the beginning, there was some of this stuff in there, and he takes this idea from God in the Ten Commandments, and he takes it to the extreme, and he says this: hey, sex was originally designed for one man and one woman who are married for life. Whoa, that's radical, isn't it? Even in our culture today. Whoa, are you kidding me? So now Paul comes on, he's kind of the author and the person that's contributing to today. He comes onto the scene where there's all these pagan man-made religions that are extreme and eccentric. I mean eccentric. It's like they're celebrating temple prostitutes as a form of worship. You go down to the local temple, you pay a couple bucks, and you get to have sex with somebody, and that is a form of worship to your pagan god. Of course everybody was in that religion. All the guys. Yes. So when Paul comes into the city of Corinth, it was everywhere. And what he said was so radical and so extreme to just about every religion known to man at that time. But nonetheless, he knew it was from God, and he believed it to be from God so deeply that he spoke with boldness and he challenged just about every religion in that day and age. This is kind of what he said in paraphrased version. You know, he came into this culture and he's like, oh my gosh, wow, looking around, you know, checking out the temples and like, I can't believe this. They don't know. They don't know. So I think I need to tell them something that maybe nobody ever told them. So he says something like, look, come here, New Testament Christian, come here, I need to tell you something. I need to explain something to you guys, and it may be really hard for you to hear, but I've got to explain to you what God had in mind when he introduced to the world this beautiful gift, powerful yet fragile gift called sex. So with that in mind, just so you know, when you hear these words and you're going to be like, those are extreme, those are narrow-minded, those are legalistic. No. He wasn't a narrow-minded religious guy. He came into a culture and he saw there is some serious lack of information going on. So I'm going to bring truth into a broken culture. Kind of like what I'm trying to do today. I'm trying to make you aware, bring to light, tell you what maybe nobody ever told you in your broken culture, what God really had in mind when he came up with sex. He starts out with this, and you're like, yeah, dude, that's narrow-minded. No, it's not. It's just to the point. Once again, remember, it's not deep. It's just clear. That's the way Paul was. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee from sexual immorality. So Paul comes on and saying, dude, that's narrow-minded. No, it's not. It's just very clear. Paul doesn't mince words. Flee from sexual immorality. And what Paul is basically saying right here is this. Don't try to resist it because you can't. Don't try to manage it because you won't be able to. Here's the best advice for you. Flee from it. Run away, run away, run away, run away. As fast as you can. And then in the very next chapter, we won't read it today, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you could go read it later on your own. He actually defines what sexual immorality is, because some of you are thinking, well, I'd like to know what that is. Okay, I'll tell you basically what it is, but I take it from the Word of God. This is not my definition. It basically is this. Sexual immorality is any sex, any form of sex outside of marriage. I got, that's right, and an amen. So obviously there's a little bit of a broken culture out there because everyone's like, I don't know. That's what it is. So I'm telling you what maybe you didn't know. He also then talks about it in another letter in Galatians chapter 5 when he's writing a letter to the Galatian church. He's like, hey, this is some things that you need to stay away from too, and sexual immorality, and he has some more definitions of what that looks like if you really want to go into that deeper. Now, then his next phrase is absolutely brilliant. This is the premise. This is the preface for everything that I've been telling you today about sex is not just physical. Okay? He says this, all other sins. And if you're a note taker, this is what you want to write down. All other sins. Why do I need to write it down? Here's why. Because this phrase, those three words are absolutely powerful. He says this, all other sins. And here's what's about ready to happen. Paul's about to tell us what you and I just discovered and just felt in the first set of questions that set this whole message off, all right? Paul's about to tell us 2,000 plus years ago, mind you, right? I mean, it's like, this isn't something new under the sun that we just came up with. He told everybody 2,000 plus years ago. What I believe you and I just know down in the deepest parts of our soul, we know intuitively today when we talk about this subject. Paul says essentially this, sexual sin is like no other sin. And some of us are like, what do you mean? Is it category in sin? No. Don't hear me wrong. Sin is sin. Consequences of sin are different, but sin is sin and Jesus paid for it all. Praise Jesus, right? But he says sexual sin is like no other. And it's not because God hates it more. It's not because God will judge you worse for it. It's not because he'll send you straight to hell because you do it. It's not because God doesn't like you anymore because of it. And it's not because God won't forgive you from it. He says sexual sin is like no other sin because, please pay attention, because of the depth in which it offends the offender. And in many cases, the offended. Sexual sin is like no other sin because of the depth in which it offends the offender. And in many cases, the offended. Are you getting the magnitude of the power and yet the fragility of this gift called sex yet? Paul then explains his reason. All other sins, he says, all other sins. You just make an inventory. Lying, cheating, stealing, whatever you want. All other sins, all of those sins that a person commits are, he gives you a location. All those sins are sins. Jesus died for them, but they're sins outside of the body. Oh, please don't miss this, guys. This is so huge. I hope I'm doing an okay job in explaining this. But all those sins are committed outside the body. And then he includes this big word called but. This is a big but in the Bible. Pun intended. But, he says, I got all this list. Jesus died for it. But, whoever sins sexually, it's a sin. Sexual sin is a sin. Obviously defined right there. Whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Are you sensing the power of this idea? Paul is basically saying this, that sexual sin, friends, sexual sin, it's in a category all on its own. Is it equal to? Yeah, it's a sin. Consequences of it are much more severe than these. Now, these can have varying degrees of consequences, but this one, you're not just sinning outside your body, you're sinning against your own body. You're not just hurting the heart of God, you're hurting your heart. And Paul is saying this on behalf of God. And guys, friends, listen, what do we expect from a God who loves us to say? Would we not want him to say this? He says, when you sin sexually, you hurt yourself. You're self-inflicting wounds upon your soul. Not only do you hurt yourself, but you hurt yourself to the deepest level of your being. That also means this, don't miss this, you hurt yourself at a level that in some, many, most cases, you'll carry it with you throughout the rest of your entire life. That if you think you can somehow go around, overt, or break the rules of this incredibly powerful yet extremely fragile gift, if you think you can do that, you got to understand, it holds the power to turn your life upside down. See, some of those questions that I asked at the beginning, they're starting to hurt. They're starting to make a little more sense. So listen, friends, according to God, with this idea, there is no category of sin in your life, no other category of sin in your life when it comes to ongoing consequences than the category of sexual sin. No other category. Paul even said this a few verses earlier. That's our passage that we were at, 1 Corinthians 6, but a couple verses before that part that I just said, to flee sexual immorality. In verse 16, he says this. Do you not know? Interesting. Something they didn't know. Kind of like we're talking about in this series, right? Something that maybe nobody ever told them. So this is very similar to our series, us telling you something that you may not know. He says, do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her body? Some of us are like, thank goodness I've never had sex with a prostitute. This isn't going to apply to me. No. You're not off the hook that soon or that easy. Let me tell you what Paul's Corinthian audience, how they took this. It shocked them when he said this, and it might shock you after I explain it to you. They read this little Greek word, unites, right there. Uniting, and they thought something like this. Whoa. Remember, this is a letter, and they're reading this, and he's like, do you not know? Didn't everybody ever tell you? What are you thinking? Didn't you see that catastrophe happen? What are you thinking? And he says, do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her body? And they're like, whoa, time out, Paul. Hold on. Nobody's uniting. We're just having sex. Maybe you use the wrong word here, Paul. I don't think you understand that, because the little word that you use, uniting, that means this, that we become like glue. That we're bonding. That we're interwoven. The word you chose, Paul, unites, actually means permanent. And that's not what happened the other day when I went down to the temple. I wasn't uniting with anybody. Are you kidding me, Paul? I wasn't uniting. It was just sex. And sex is just physical. It's just a one-time thing. And Paul would say, No. You've got this all wrong. And it's because this, you don't understand sex. See, when you... Listen, when you have sex with somebody, there is a sense of permanence. When you have sex with somebody, you become one with somebody. Maybe this will help you out. I'll come a little bit closer to home for some of you, okay? One, Josh? Permanent, Josh? What are you even talking about? I didn't even know her name. It was spring break. Everybody was doing it. I can't even remember half of spring break. It was just one time. So we had sex. Who cares? It's just physical. Right? One time, Josh, permanent, Josh, what are you talking about? I'm only 15. I've got my whole life ahead of me. He said, if you love me, you'll let me. So I thought, hey, maybe I ought to try it out so I can prepare and get better at it in the future. So we had sex. No big deal. It's just physical, right, Josh? One, permanent? What are you talking about, Josh? I'm just trying to see if I'm compatible, right? With the right person that I've finally found. And since we have all of this chemistry, we started having sex. No worries. It's just physical, right? One, permanent? What are you talking about, Josh? So I was out of town one time on a business trip, big deal. My wife and I, we were having problems. So I thought, what would it hurt? It's just a one-time thing. So we had sex because I thought no one will ever find out. It's just physical, right? One, Josh, permanent, Josh, what are you talking about? So big deal. I was alone once and I was looking at naked pictures of a woman going to porn university. So I thought, why not? Nobody else is around, so I pleasured myself. It's not like it happens all the time, Josh. It's just physical, right? To which Paul and God would reply, no. Maybe never, nobody ever told you. But you've got it all wrong. It's not just sex. It's not just physical. And God would further say, you were designed to become one with one. And when you continue to become one with person after person after person, you severely damage the intimacy factor. And you damage your ability to experience what I originally designed you for when I gave you sex. Then Paul goes back all the way back to the beginning of the time, book of Genesis, to substantiate his thought. And he says this, for it is said, the two will become one, uniting, permanent, one flesh. And there's our intimacy word again, one. And that simply means this, according to that passage, if you look it up, a one that can't be unwound. Back to our original passage, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Do you not know? There it is again. Do you not know? Do you not know? Something they didn't know. That's why Paul's telling them. That your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Meaning, didn't everybody tell you? Didn't anybody tell you that if you become a Christian, that your body is now inhabited by the Holy Spirit? Did nobody ever tell you that when you said yes to Jesus? He continues, that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have received from God. And then he says this, because of that, you are not your own. Meaning you don't own yourself anymore. Because you were bought, you were purchased, you were redeemed at a price. And might I remind you just kind of a little bitty, it was a pretty lofty price. It was a pretty lofty price. You were bought at a price. Therefore, because of that fact alone, there's Paul's conclusion and application. Because of that, honor God with your bodies. Honor God with your bodies. And with that comes some great insight, right? You want to know how to manage your sex life? Easy. Honor God with your bodies. Not so easy, Josh. I got a question or two. Right? Huh. Okay, so I realize that this teaching today really does clash with culture. I mean, hardcore head-on collision. This is not what culture would agree with or thinks. So here's what I want you to really chew on with our conversation today, okay? I'm going to say something for you, and then I'm going to ask you two questions, and we're going to close, all right? But this is what I want you to really seriously chew on. According according to this book, which is known as the Bible, another word for it is absolute truth, which means there's no other truth but this. According to this Bible, sex is not just a matter of personal preference. Sex is a matter of divine design. That's what this book says. If you want to know the truth, okay, if you've been wandering around trying to figure it out, according to this book, sex is not just a matter of personal preference. Sex is a matter of divine design. Okay? Meaning this, I'll break that down for you. God made it, and he made it to work in a certain specific way. And maybe, just maybe, that's why there's extreme consequences when it's handled or treated the wrong way. Maybe. Okay? So here's what I'm gonna suggest some things. You don't have to do it. You can say, screw you, I don't think you know what you're talking about. That's fine, all right? And you don't have to listen to this, but I'm just gonna give you a couple thoughts that might help you. If you're like, okay, I'm leaning in. Tell me what you got for me, Josh, because some of this stuff is really hard. I'm going to share with you two particular things that I think you should consider doing for today. All right? If you're single, if you're divorced, if you're married and you have kids and you want them to do this the right way, the first time, okay? Here's a couple things you really need to consider moving forward. Number one is this. You need to determine today the story you eventually want to tell someday. You need to determine today the story you eventually will tell or want to tell someday. All right, this is the first suggestion. Now, let me break that down for you and tell you what that means. At some time in your future, single adults in particular, pay attention. At some time in your future, when you believe that you've finally met the right person and you want to spend the rest of your life with them, you're absolutely convinced, you know what I'm saying? You become the person you're looking for is looking for, and you're like, oh, I finally found that person. Here's what's going to happen. I'm just telling you from what I know and experience, all right? You'll have a story to tell. You're going to have a story to tell to that person. So I suggest that right now you determine the story you will tell, like right now. You're going to tell a story, so determine the story you're going to tell like now. And then here's what you do. You live in such a way here forward that will determine how you will eventually tell that story. Now, I say all of that because of this. Many people, too many people, have come to this point in their lives when they finally met, you know, the right person, and when they get ready to tell their story, because you're going to tell your story. You get ready to tell your story, and too many people do this. They get ready to tell their story, and then they lie. They lie. I can't even begin to tell you. Andy and Nancy would tell you because of conversations that they have. All of the years of experience in counseling, we're talking about a lie. That's what it is. Counseling session after counseling session after counseling session. Hear it all the time. A wife and husband, or a wife or husband, finally discovered that their wife or husband lied about their story. And here's the reason they lied. Every time, never fails, 100% guaranteed. Here's the reason they lied. Ready for it? They didn't like their story. Never fails. They didn't like their stories. This is a classic, isn't it? They didn't like their story that they wrote. Coincidence? So out of fear of losing the right person, if they just shared their real story, they lied about their story, and guess what happens? They're sitting on my couch in my office because the truth has finally come out. And it's even a bigger mess now. So, single people, divorced people, trying to do this again, married couples with kids that you wanted to do it right the first time. Listen to me. Let's decide today the story we want to tell now. And then live in such a way here forward that will determine how you will eventually tell that story. So why, Josh? Why should I do that? So you don't have to lie about your story later. And that also means if you're serious about becoming the person you're looking for is looking for, then my suggestion for you right now, if you're serious about that, I'm going to become, if that's you, then I'm just going to give you one more last piece of advice. Choose a good story. Second one, almost done. Ready? Decide ahead of time what honoring God with your body really looks like. Decide ahead of time.
And that's sort of like budgeting. And don't worry, I'm not going to go into a whole generosity conversation, but that's sort of like budgeting. Budgeting looks like this. I look at what I got, and I decide what I'm going to do with it. I look at what I got, I'm going to decide what I'm going to do with it. All the singles out there, listen to me. You need a sexual budget. You need a body budget, okay? You need a body budget. And here's what that looks like. I'll break it down for you. You need to pre-decide today. Pre-decide today what will you do and what won't you do with your body when it comes to sexual relationships. So when the temptation comes along, because it will, it's going to come. When you found the right person, all the chemistry and fire, shoo, it's going to come. Temptation's going to come, all right? When the temptation comes along, here's what happens. You've already pre-decided what you will or won't do. And all that means is the decision's already been made. As my son would say, that's it, all done. It's that simple. And here's the beauty of pre-deciding. This is huge. Single adults, listen. When you pre-decide that you what you will do or won't do sexually, here's beautiful, beautiful. You're pre-deciding something that will have a tremendous impact on your future. It's huge. It's huge. Here's what's so huge about this. Because I hear this all the time, but dude, I got some needs, man. I can't do this or that or whatever. Dude, you're damaging your soul. No, dude, but I got needs. I got it that you got needs. But that ain't a need, bro. I said that in week one, right? Sex ain't a need. You can live your whole life without sex and you'll be just fine. Sex is a want. So listen to this. If you're falling for this, but I got to try it out and this, that, whatever, blah. Listen, giving up something now for something better later is not a sacrifice, guys. It's not a sacrifice. Don't think I'm sacrificing this, man. I can't believe it. It's not a sacrifice. It's an investment. And when it comes to your sexual life, it's the best investment that you could ever make. I hope you're hearing this, singles. Please don't miss this. Every time that you decide to set a sexual standard or a moral principle, listen to me, you are investing in a future relationship. Your future relationship. I don't know how else to say it. I just came up with it in the first service, so I'll say it again. Ready? I don't know, it's tempting. It's like, oh, the pull is there. 5 seconds of gratification, of satisfaction. I told you it was PG-13. 5 seconds of satisfaction or a lifetime of happiness, joy, peace with God, and commitment with one person. I don't know how your record's going, but for 22 years, mine's going just fine. Just fine. So that essentially means this. Listen, every time you say no, you're actually saying yes. Every time you feel like you're making a sacrifice, you're making an investment. In whose future? Your future. Your future. Because after all, at the end of the day, I hope you're getting this. At the end of the day, sex is not just physical. It's not just physical. All right, please stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Please don't leave. This is not the time to leave. For some reason, people like think I'm speaking in a different language up here when I say, you know, please stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Oh, it's time to go. Yes, yeah, all right. No. And just to make clear, you know, again, because whenever I say, let's sing a song, then everybody's like, okay, during the song I can go. No, that doesn't mean that either, all right? I'm trying to bring everybody, I'm telling you something you didn't know, all right? So this is what this whole series has been about. When we do this part right here, it's called the what's next moment. This is the most important part of the entire day. For somebody could make a decision that could change their life and the direction they're heading for eternity, right now. And the last thing you want to be is a distraction or an interruption for them. So this is the most important time. All heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to close today with a prayer, and I'm going to pray in that prayer particularly for all of the singles that call COC their home, our celebrator singles. I'm also going to pray for your children, moms and dads. Because we're living in a generation, a culture that communicates the wrong message about sex. That being, it's just physical. And I hope that you've come to realize today that nothing could be farther than the truth. I'm going to pray that because I care deeply about your kids. And I care deeply about my kids. I love your kids and I love my kids. And friends, they desperately need our prayers today. Because I'm just here to tell you right now, in case you don't know this, it's just going to get worse. It's just going to get worse. How do you know that? Because I read my Bible. And it tells me. But when it gets worse, it can become great in someone's life. I'm going to pray that prayer as our closer. And after that prayer, we're going to sing a song together. You've maybe heard it. It'll be recognizable when you hear it. It's by Dave Crowder. It's called How He Loves Us. I asked Matt to do this song today because here's what I think is so powerful about the words in this song. It goes on and on about how he loves us, how he loves us, how he loves us. And what I want you to do is I want you to think about that song as you sing that song. And I want you to remember that no matter how bad you have messed up with your sexual life in your past, no matter how many poor choices that you've made with your sexual life, or even the circumstances, and this is where my heart is sensitive, even for those of you in the circumstances that you had no control of and they've absolutely wrecked you, remember this today, friends, that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that will ever change the fact that God loves you no matter what. And I want you to pay attention to a phrase in this song. I believe it's in verse 3. And I want you to listen to it. And it says this: I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way you love me. And I'm hoping that those simple words might hit home for somebody today. It might prompt you to move out of your seats, come to the altars, get before God, and to pray for the regrets that, friends, you have been carrying around for far too long from your past sexual sins, and let them go. Friends, they're paid for. They're done. The blood of the cross has covered them. Why do you keep carrying them? You don't have time to carry those regrets anymore. So my prayer is that as you hear about and sing about how God loves you, and that you don't have time to waste anymore living in the past and letting your past identify you. God has already defined you by your future. Come forward. Let him go. Release him. And some of you are like, I've been trying that forever for myself. And hey, listen, that's part of your problem. You got yourself in the predicament. Chances are you ain't getting yourself out of it. You need the body of Christ to help you. And that's what we are as a church. We're going to have friends in the front. They've got lanyards on. They're really, really awesome, nice, caring people. Just come forward and help. Let them. Give them some of your burden. They'll carry it. Let us help you. You don't have time anymore to carry the regrets. Let them go. Jesus, thank you for today. I thank you for every single person here today that calls COC their home, that is a young adult single, middle-aged single, wherever they're at single. And I pray, Jesus, for their heart, that they would come to terms and realize right now that their past may remind them, but it doesn't have to define them. And today they will choose a course, and they will no longer believe the lie that it's just physical, that they will realize it's not just physical. It defines me. It gives me definition of being known and fully known by my God. It is a gift that I am supposed to manage well. And from this day forward, I'm giving it back to God. I'm spiritually becoming a virgin. And I'm asking God to guide me in my future decisions, because sex is not
just physical. It's highly spiritual. It's intimate. It's to be known and fully known. I pray for all those young adults. I pray for our children. God, it breaks my heart when I think about my kids at the ages they're in and the culture we live in and where it's going to be in the next 5, 10, 15 years. But here's what I do know, Lord. As the wheels of culture turn, the consistency of God stays the same. The power of God stays the same. So I'm praying, God, that you would infiltrate families today with the power of the Holy Spirit. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. I'm praying today that we would keep pursuing becoming the person we are looking for is looking for. Move in someone's life. Help someone find freedom, victory today. Let their regrets go. In your Son's precious and holy, holy, holy name.